Well, over the past several weeks, we've been looking in 1 Peter and trying to understand what it means to be a Christian in a world that isn't. And we've seen that it relates to the importance of us needing to submit to God's word and plan as it relates to relationships that we're in. If we go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, we saw that we need to submit to our government officials, good or bad. If we agree with them or disagree with them, we need to submit to our government officials. We saw that we need to submit to our employers. Again, whether good or bad, doing things that are right or not, fair or just or not. We're to submit to our employers. We saw that Jesus himself was our example of what it means to submit, because he submitted his will to the Father to suffer on the cross for our sins. So Jesus himself submitted his will to the Father's. Last week we saw that wives are to submit to their husbands. Whether saved or unsaved, they are to submit to their husbands. And we husbands are to submit to God when it comes to how we are to relate to our wives. So today we're going to see that godly husbands care enough to minister to their wives, that we also are under this umbrella of submission as husbands, that godly husbands care enough to minister to their wives. So please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Page 1015 in the Bibles that we provide. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. That's our primary text this morning, one verse. 1 Peter 3, 7 says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Our passage begins with the word likewise. If you notice in chapter 3, verse 1, it's used also when it speaks to the wives. So that tells us that likewise, husbands are under this theme, overarching theme of submission that 1 Peter has been going through, as I just mentioned. We were reminded last week that our faith fuels our submission. Because we have faith in God, that enables us to submit to these different relationships that we're involved in. Knowing that God knows all things enables our faith to submit. Knowing God is all-knowing or is sovereign over all things allows us to have faith in God to submit. Knowing that God has a purpose and a plan for the things that we're going through, good or bad, especially in times of suffering, enables us to have faith to submit. And knowing that God is always with us enables us and helps us to have faith to submit. And so this is referring to us as husbands, this passage, that we submit to God and how He wants us to relate to our wives to give God glory, to honor Him. We were reminded last week also that submission is something that's willingly done. You can't coerce or force someone to submit in the way that Scripture is talking about here. It's something that we willingly do. Think about the marriages or the weddings that you've attended. When the bride and the groom make a covenant with each other before God and those present at their wedding, they're usually asked a question and they respond by saying either "I will" or "I do," demonstrating that they are willingly submitting to this covenant that they've made with one another before God. So this passage here begins by the simple word "likewise," meaning that husbands are to submit to God in what he has to say about how we treat our wives. Remember, Jesus submitted to God the Father in the garden when he said, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." And that's the attitude that we husbands need to have as we approach this passage this morning. So it says, likewise, husbands. So it's very clear that this passage right here that we're looking at this morning is speaking to us husbands, or men who hope to be husbands someday. This will tell you, inform you, how you should interact and relate to your wife. And husbands, this is clearly for us today, this passage. So likewise, husbands, live with your wives. It begins with. And the idea of living with your wife means that you have a knowledge of her. You know her well. You understand how God has created her in a unique way, in a specific way. It means that you spend time together interacting. It's not just that you occupy the same living space, but you know her. That's what it means to live with your wives. But then the passage says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. An understanding way. Now let me just kind of say something that's obvious. Men, there's things about women that we will probably never understand. Why they go to the bathroom in groups? I mean, I have my theories, but, you know, we just won't understand it. Or their understanding or meaning of what it takes to prepare themselves to go somewhere. And when they say it will just take me 5 minutes is not how I understand 5 minutes to me. And we may not ever understand why that is. So there's things that you know, we might not understand about women in general. But what this verse is telling us, husbands, that we are to love our wives in an understanding way, meaning that there's a way that we can understand our wives and understand them or know them well. And that's because you have made a commitment to them, a covenant. You've made a promise that you're going to love and cherish them till death do us part. And that you know their character better than anyone else. And you know their needs. So that's the idea of living with them in an understanding way. But oftentimes, we husbands don't live in an understanding way. We become disengaged with our wife. We are no longer interested or take notice of their needs. Or possibly we stop caring. We become more involved with our careers or our professions, our hobbies, or the things that we watch on TV take a priority in our lives. And we simply disengage. We back away from our relationship, our knowing our wives, understanding them in the way that we should. So what do we do to understand them better? Well, I've found that you simply need to ask questions. You need to re-engage yourself in their lives, finding out what is going on in their life. What are their needs? What are they thinking about? What are their concerns? We need to listen. And again, that might be different for you and your wife. You don't just settle for the Reader's Digest version, but find out exactly what's going on in her heart. It's interesting that when people are engaged to be married, we call that engagement. They're involved, they're aware of what their future wife's needs are. And they meet them. They care for them. I mean, when a person's engaged, you know it. So we husbands need to resist that tendency for us to become so selfish and self-centered in what we are doing and what's important to us and re-engage with our wives. To live with them in an understanding way. That's what's being talked about here. So our message this morning is very clear and basic. It says that godly husbands care enough to minister to their wives. We care enough to engage them, listen to them, meet their needs. We need to fight that tendency to disengage, to back off, to say, oh, that's your issue, that's your problem. And the passage says that we do this, we live in with our wives in an understanding way by, let's look at the passage, by showing honor to the woman. Now the idea of showing honor, to show something, show honor to someone means to assign value. So one way that we as a culture show honor to someone is if they're a sports team, we give them a trophy. And the basketball and hockey seasons came to a conclusion recently. And the teams that won, we showed them honor or respect by having them win a trophy. So the idea of showing honor or respect to our wives is similar to the idea that we see God viewing women in an earlier passage in chapter 3, verse 4. There we see that in God's sight, women are precious when they have a gentle and quiet spirit. Do you see that? And the idea there is that when we show honor or respect to our wives, we treat them as precious. Because they are. Just as God views them in 1 Peter 3:4. It made me realize or think about the fact that I have different things that I use to drink out of at home. And we have a real nice set of crystal goblets that we probably got during our wedding. And we don't use them very often. But when we do, I treat these things very delicately and special because they're pretty nice. And, you know, when it comes time to cleaning them, I don't just throw them in the dishwasher. You know, I do it by hand and I do it very carefully. In contrast to when I use a Slurpee cup from 7-Eleven, I treat that baby a whole different way than I do these crystal goblets. Our wives are not Slurpee cups. They're not. We need to treat them as crystal goblets, very precious, handling them with care, tenderly. That's what is being implied here when it says, show honor to the woman. Then it says, as the weaker vessel. And the idea there is quite obvious. They're weaker in the only fact or sense that they are physically weaker. Most men are stronger than their wives. But notice that the woman is described as a weaker vessel, implying that we're both vessels. Makes me think of 2 Corinthians 4:7, where we're all described as jars of clay, which are very fragile. Again, you don't handle jars of clay carelessly, because they could be broken easily. So both the husband and the wife are both weak vessels. The woman is weaker physically. Both are used by God as instruments for His glory, communicating the gospel. It really indicates that we're both weak. We're weak because we have sin in our lives. We're sinners. Both of us. It's interesting, when I do premarital counseling today, there's a recent book that's been published called When Sinners Say I Do. And one of the messages of that book points out the fact that, of course, you're in love with the person you're going to marry. And you're looking forward to that time when you are forming this relationship and you'll become your own family. But the book points out that you're both sinners, and when sinners begin to live together and interact in close quarters, something's going to happen. They're going to sin against each other. And so in marriage, as a husband or a wife, you learn to ask for forgiveness, to confess and repent of your sin. You also learn how to forgive, because two sinners are saying, I do, living together. And so we're weak because of our sin, our tendency to be selfish, to have it all about me and my needs. So the husband here is encouraged to honor, respect, treat his wife as precious because she's a weaker vessel. She has needs that need to be cared for, that we need to be sensitive to. It also implies that we need to provide and protect them, meaning that we don't use our physical size or strength as a weapon, hitting, beating, abusing our wives physically. That is out of the vocabulary of a Christian husband, or really any husband. God does not want us men to use our strength as a weapon. Never did. And we need to be careful about that, because we can lose our temper and strike out at our wives. But God tells us here that we need to honor them, respect them, love them, because they're the weaker vessel. It also just implies that we need to care for them with their physical needs, knowing that they are weaker than us, meaning that at the end of the day, they are just as tired as you might be after a long day at work, and yet they still have things to do. So help them with the kids. Help them with the dishes. You know, in the wintertime, when it's time to shovel the driveway, you do it rather than your wife. Help her do those things that you physically are more capable of doing, and that's a way of showing respect and honor to them. We need to remember that they have emotional needs. And again, this is one of those things that men generally are different than women. And we need to kind of slow down and listen to them and understand that their emotional needs might be different from ours, and then care for them. Love them. We need to, and maybe I need to say it again, listen to them. It makes me think of a situation back when I was newly married to Lori. It might have been like 4 or 5 months that I'd been married to Lori, and her younger brother, who was a young college student at the time, was talking to us, and he said, Andy, what do you guys do all evening? What do you do, Andy? And I said, well, I sit around and I listen to Lori. And that was very insightful for him. Well, the sad truth is that I don't always sit around and listen to Lori as I should. And maybe that's you as well, husband. And we need to take the time to listen to our wives, because they are the weaker vessel. They have needs that are different from ours, but we need to listen and know what they are and then meet them. Well, the passage gives two reasons that we are to honor or respect our wives. So look there with me. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. They're heirs with us of the grace of life. We need to give honor because God gives honor to both of us as fellow heirs. We're both receiving the same inheritance. We're both heirs of the promises that God has given in Scripture. And so we need to encourage them to mature and grow in their faith, because they have the same responsibilities and blessings that we have. But men, we have to struggle or resist the tendency to misuse the authority that God has given us as the leader in the family by demanding, being overbearing, being almost a dictator. That's not what God has called us to do. We're equal in value, yet we have different roles. The Bible makes that very clear. And sometimes we men abdicate our role as leader in the home. Say, fine, you take over. I'm not going to, do anything spiritually with the kids. You pray with them. You lead time in the Word. So oftentimes, men, as husbands, we simply abdicate our role as leaders. But our wives are fellow heirs with us of the grace of life. There's another verse in the Bible that clearly delineates the role of the husband. And let's turn there briefly. It's in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And this helps us understand what it means to live with our wives in an understanding way, showing honor to them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. There it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." And then turn down to verse 32. "This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church." So here we see in Ephesians that we husbands are to love our wives just as Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? Well, he came and humbled himself, taking on the form of a man. So Jesus was both God and man completely. He lived a sinless, perfect life so that he would then be able to go to the cross to die in our place for our sin that demanded judgment. And he bore that upon himself. And so when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, he takes our sin upon himself and gives us his righteousness. We become children of God, born again, co-heirs with Christ. And so Jesus here is described as sanctifying the church, causing her to mature and grow in her faith and understanding of who Jesus is, becoming more like Jesus as he is preparing his bride, which we will all be before him as the book of Revelation talks about. And so husbands, we also are to encourage our wives to mature and grow in their faith, to help them in their sanctification, in their becoming more like Christ, in their faith being more mature. Notice in verse 32, it talks about how marriage is similar to Christ's relationship to the church, how he loved the church. And so in the same way, our marriage should reflect the gospel. As people see us loving and honoring and respecting our wives as Christ loved the church, they are seeing the gospel being lived out before them when they see you treat your wife in an honoring, loving, respectful way. And so when we go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, we're told to show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. See, we're saved by grace, each one of us. But we are also mature and grow by faith in grace. So everything is by grace. We're saved by grace and we are sanctified by grace. God continues to be working in our lives. And husbands, we need to encourage that in our wives. That is what it means to honor them as heirs with you of the grace of life. See, we need to be, as spouses, encouraging one another to put off sin and to put on righteousness daily. Well, we husbands should be the greatest cheerleaders for our wives in that regard, encouraging them, put off sin, put on righteousness daily. But the verse doesn't end there. It reads, "There, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." We see here clearly that how we relate to our wives impacts our spiritual lives. We're fooling ourselves if we think that by not obeying God's word, there's no ramifications or consequences. There are. And here we see that if we don't treat our wives in the way that this passage is describing, our prayers are hindered. Well, what could that mean? And I think there's two possibilities. The first is because the husband has disengaged himself, not really interacting and caring and honoring his wife, he simply stops praying for her. I've lost interest and I just stop praying. So his prayers are hindered because he's not praying. Or it could mean that God is disciplining the man for his good to show him that the way he's treating his wife is not what God wants for him to be doing, and that there's consequences of his prayers being hindered. It's interesting, the idea of being hindered here has the idea of being interrupted. Boy, don't you hate when you're interrupted? I know, I don't like that. And yet, I find myself, as I've been thinking about this passage, I do that to Lori all the time. I interrupt her. I think I know what she's going to say, or I've got a better idea, so I interrupt her. That is not honoring to her. It's not showing respect. And so when the passage says here that our prayers are hindered means that they're interrupted. Or it has the idea of being blocked. And so think of the idea of if one of our major arteries was blocked, and I know some of you have had some major arteries that were blocked at a time, what do you want done? You want a procedure to open that puppy up so that it's not blocked. Well, that's what the imagery is of this passage here, that when we don't treat our wives in the way that this passage is saying, our prayers are blocked. They're not effectual. There's no impact that they're having. And so this morning, this passage has been for us husbands, and we are seeing that we need to submit to God's word and plan for how he wants us to treat our wives so that ultimately he's glorified as the gospel is being lived out before other people, and that we care for our wives because they are precious. They're valuable to God and they should be to us. And so we should demonstrate that. And so it's my prayer that we husbands, if we've not been acting in this way, that God would speak to us this morning, and that we would make changes, that we would humble ourselves and say, you know, I'm going to change. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to submit to his word so that I can honor my wife. So that's my prayer this morning. Shall we pray together? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us Jesus as an example for both the wife and the husband to look to help us in the roles that you've given us as it relates to our spouses. And I do pray for us husbands that you would help us to submit our will to your will, and that we would care enough to minister to our wives. We thank you for them, and we pray, Lord, that you would bring about change that needs to happen in our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.